Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 118 of Classic Elite. My name is Scott. I'll be hosting tonight. And Dustin, last week, I totally forgot to introduce myself. So any first-time listeners have got to be, what a pretentious dick. Thinks we just know who he is. Dustin, what's going on, man?
Not much. Josh is back.
Yes.
Josh is back.
I'm here.
Back in black. So,
I am.
Josh.
Kind of.
Go ahead.
I'm wearing black socks. So, yeah.
Counts.
Me too. I'm still in my work clothes. So. We are a video game podcast, and we're here to talk about new and old video games. But before we do that, let's talk about non-video game stuff. Josh, you trick-or-treated, our listeners probably are sick of hearing about this, since Dustin and I talked about trick-or-treat like 10 minutes last week. So you trick-or-treated on a Thursday.
Yeah, they don't do trick-or-treat on Halloween where I'm from. It's always like a day before, sometimes a day after. Never on the actual night, and never on a Friday.
Yep, that's how it is where I'm from. And Dustin, you can see it visibly pisses him off.
It hurts me a little. It makes me angry, and it hurts me a little.
I feel like we're telling you there's no Santa Claus.
Yeah, right, that's now how it feels.
You know,
except like this is a real thing that you're taking away from someone.
Josh, what was the what was your favorite costume that you saw?
Costume wise, you know, a lot of the kids I saw running around, none of them were like particularly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Although there was one kid who had to be, oh gosh, what was he? I would say 15.
Oh.
And he was in his normal street clothes, except he had a giant horse mask on. And he was.
I'll give him credit as being the dude from Hotline Miami.
Yeah, that's what I took it as. That or he was BoJack Horseman. Either way, it was cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and then Malachi, I liked his costume a lot. He was Link from The Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
Yeah.
You probably didn't need to say from The Legend of Zelda.
No, but I have to clarify. I'm trying to send it to you guys. It's going. The funny thing is, got this cool costume. It was adult, small. It fit him for the most part. He's 11, or he'll be 11 really soon. And when he was trick-or-treating, I would say all the dads got it. They were like, Link, awesome, yeah. And then some people were asking, is there a new game coming out? And I'd be like, yeah, there was this Hyrule Warriors thing, and then that would start a conversation. But all the older folks that were giving out candy thought he was Peter Pan.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I was...
Poor kid.
Giving him a hard time. I'm like, buddy, you were the best Peter Pan out there tonight. But there were three other kids dressed up as Link.
Oh, no kidding.
That's yeah. Cool. Yeah, that surprised me. Yeah, all like 10, 9-ish range. So, yeah, it was cool.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I saw in the small amount of time that I was passing out candy, I saw a Ninja Turtle, which was sweet. Ninja Turtles were real big this year, I guess. And a kid with this really, he looked like he was from some sort of a video game, had a really gory outfit on, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Just, he looked completely dismembered, and he had an eyeball hanging out, and yeah.
Pretty much. But he was a young kid, so I was like, that's awesome. Yay, violence. He should be a programmer for hatred, Dustin.
Yeah.
Josh, have you seen that trailer at all?
Hatred?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Is it a movie, okay, a game? What is it?
It's a video game.
Okay.
It's just, I'll do it after the show. Last time I had to do some podcast editing because there was a lot of dead air while we were waiting for Dustin to watch a trailer live. So I kind of shortened that down a little bit.
It was riveting. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Dead silence. If so, have you watched it? Have you watched it? Has he blown her head off yet?
What?
It's a pretty graphic.
Is this a game
trailer
coming out?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Gotcha.
From some Polish developers. That's about all I know about it. I forget the name of the company.
Okay, so don't show this to my son.
No.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Nope. Not that it caused him to go crazy, but it made my stomach turn.
Really?
And
wow.
As you said, he's 11.
Yeah. Wow. Now I have to see it. Okay.
It's just kind of, it's over the top gruesome. I don't really like that stuff. So, yep. Well, guys, welcome to the episode, I guess. I guess we can go ahead and jump into some games. I do want to spoil one thing, Dustin. We got some fan mail. Did you see that? I guess not.
My headphones just cut out if you said something to me.
I did. These wireless headphones, man.
Yeah, Dustin's, I don't know if they're going to work.
He's trying out some new tech. but we got some fan mail.
Oh, yes. I saw that.
So I was super excited about that. So we'll read that at the end of the show. So stay tuned. It was a really, really cool email. But you guys, Nintendo Direct came out with some stuff today. I think it was today. But I had a question for you guys. So Mario Kart DLC is coming out next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dustin, how would you handle the DLC from a multiplayer perspective?
How do you mean?
There is going to be a situation where some people aren't going to have the DLC, but wanting to be playing multiplayer online. And Nintendo has come out and said that they are not going to let players select the DLC if they don't have it owned. So if one person if not all 12 people that are in your party didn't purchase the DLC, then no one could play the DLC in the online multiplayer. Does that make sense?
So it's kind of like it's matchmaking so that it's like the least or most common denominator, I guess?
Yeah.
Or least common, I guess? That...
Whichever way it works. I don't know. Would you allow people to have access to the DLC in a multiplayer setting if they didn't pay for it?
No, because then they'll never pay for it because they will never have to.
But the way the online multiplayer works is you don't get to select it. It only randomly chooses courses for you.
Mm-hmm.
So since it's kind of random, people couldn't just play the DLC whenever that they wanted. Like, it might just be luck of the draw.
Right. I don't know. You don't want people getting access to content that's behind a paywall.
Behind a pay, exactly.
But at the same time, I mean, if they're making it so the you just kind of default go to another race without, like, it's not like you're getting booted out, right?
Yeah, it's just you're locked out of the DLC if one person doesn't have it.
So, I mean, from a gameplay perspective, that makes sense because there's no, like, gaps. Nobody's getting booted. And it seems kind of seamless as far as the multiplayer experience, but...
Booting people, I kind of like that idea. I bought the DLC, so screw them.
Well, there you go, yeah. I guess it's just make a private... Like, make a private race, and, you know, you and all your friends get in there. You all have the DLC, so you can make sure that you get it.
Yeah. And I think that might be what they're doing, is allowing you to select your matchmaking to include only people that currently own the DLC.
Hmm.
Is kind of their workaround for it, which I thought was...
Yeah, that's smart.
Hopefully they sell this DLC like gangbusters, because it would stink if it takes a lot longer for your matchmaking to occur because of this. It's kind of fracturing their player base in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess not in a way, it directly is. I don't know. I just thought it was, kind of interesting. It was something I hadn't thought about, because when I saw that the DLC was announced, I bought it immediately, sight unseen. I'm like, oh my gosh, more Mario Kart, and it's on sale. Yes, sign me up. So, Josh, do you have any thoughts on that? Is it fair to lock people out?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if you didn't, then you could have one person out of every 12 that would need to buy it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I think like you're saying, like having the option to say only match me with people that own the content I own, that's cool.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you could match up with people who have DLC and people who don't. You would just be limited to what's on the disc. You couldn't play tracks.
Correct.
Yeah. That were downloadable content. But I imagine anyone who's serious about Mario Kart that's playing online consistently bought that DLC.
That's an excellent point. I didn't think of it that way. That the vast majority of players that I'm going to be playing against are definitely going to have the DLC.
And at some point, maybe they re-release it and it's, you know, Mario Kart 8 complete, and then everyone just, you know, rolls with it.
Yeah. Which would be cool if they did that, kind of like a player's choice from back in the day.
Yeah, oh man, I forgot about that.
Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, did you guys see that Majora's Mask is coming to the 3DS?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
You gonna get it? Or wait, you don't have a 3DS, right, Josh?
I don't, but I'm heavily considering the new 3DS.
Shocker.
Silly as that sounds. Yeah, well, no, it's Xenoblade Chronicles and that new Final Fantasy Explorers game. That looks right up my alley. It's just mindless grinding and leveling multiple jobs, and it's online. Yeah.
Dustin knows what I think of grinding.
Yeah. You like the bump and grind.
Grinding in video games is not for me. I'll do it occasionally if the game's good enough.
Diablo.
Hearthstone. But I haven't fired up Diablo in a long time. Hearthstone's not grinding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing over and over, but...
To get random cards, to grind into dust, to make new cards.
Yeah. You're right. But it doesn't feel like a grind because every game is so different.
That's true. Well, not our games. Every game you win, so...
Yeah, we should play some more Hearthstone. I've been getting my butt kicked lately.
You need to boost your ego.
A little bit. You
need to feel better.
Let's play.
Yeah.
But yeah, Majora's Mask is coming to 3DS, I think, spring of next year. Dustin, you think you'll pick it up?
No, I've never played through that game. I've started it a couple of times, and I don't know. I think I played through Ocarina of Time too many times when I was a kid. I just don't want to go back to it.
Kind of burnt out on that engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. This, for me, is going to be a game I'm likely to get because I think I've told the story before on the show where I had my save file deleted when I was coming up to the last boss. And so I've never had the heart to go back and replay the game. I think that this might be the thing that gets me to go back to the game. Because I really, really enjoyed the 3DS of Ocarina of Time. It was really good.
I was surprised at how much better that game looked. The 3DS version looks a lot more polished than the original.
And I'm thinking that this Majora's Mask will be even a bigger leap.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of a lot more time on it and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there any news that you guys had noticed before I get to my last item?
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool that the new Call of Duty, if you make it an acronym, it spells Kadao.
Kadao. It does. Advanced Warfare. The reason I put it in the news is because it's actually getting pretty decent reviews. Jeff Gerstmann from Giant Bomb gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I saw the quick look, and it looks pretty cool.
I did watch the Titanfall quick look that you talked about, but I haven't watched the Advanced Warfare quick look. But if I need something to fall asleep to.
Yeah, I still call it Advanced Warfighter, though, in my head. I have to think about it.
It's kind of like me and Shadows of Mordor. Yeah. I just can't stop saying Shadows.
See, I call it Mordor. I don't know.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's how I roll.
With my pattern, I'd start calling it Mordors.
Mordors.
cool. Well, I guess, Dustin, are you surprised that Call of Duty is getting some good reviews after what happened with Ghosts?
A little, yeah. And I'm really surprised that Jeff Gerstmann was so enthusiastic about it.
It sounded like the guys over at Tested were pretty interested in checking it out as well.
I also thought it was, I didn't know, it was old Dead Space people that did that. Sledgehammer Studios?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a huge Dead Space fan, so that's cool. I'm glad that those guys went on to do something awesome.
Nice. I did watch your 31st day of Halloween. I watched your quick look on that.
Oh, yeah. God, I love that game.
I know. Josh, what about you, news-wise?
Nothing big news-wise for me. I saw they announced a big Kingdom Hearts, like, 2.5 Collector's Edition.
Oh.
It was a couple days ago. I'm kind of pumped about that. I'm thinking that might be a Christmas present for Malachi's mom, because she's a big fan of that series. Plus,
gotcha.
I could unbox it on camera, win-win.
Yes, that would be great. You get lucky with your unboxing videos, man. They usually seem to do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, yeah. I just haven't bought anything that cool in a while. Nothing's come out that I've been able to snag a big edition of lately.
No, didn't you just, not that it was a big edition, but you just got a free upgrade to, was it Rise of the Fallen?
Oh, no, yeah, Lords of the Fallen.
Lords of the Fallen.
Yeah, that I did, but it wasn't really like an epic thing once I opened it. It was just like a really nice surprise. Dude hands me the case at GameStop and open it up, and I'm like, oh, sweet, there's like a physical soundtrack. You never get that anymore. And a couple slips in there with some DLC, which was very welcome. I mean, I'm not complaining at all. But it wasn't like the big granddaddy Guild Wars 2, Star Wars The Old Republic type of unboxing.
Gotcha.
Which I miss. I want a giant, ridiculous statue that I will put on a shelf and never pay attention to.
Because that's what they're there for.
Exactly.
Just to look at. Yep. So I've never been much of a statue guy, but I have a bookshelf that I'm just not happy with. And if I had a bunch of figurines, it would keep me single, but it would look really cool.
It'd give you something to fight over later if you did get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. I got to tell you, being in your early 30s in a small town and single, dating sucks. And then you tell them you do a video game podcast, they run. I'm like, no.
They literally ran from
it. They literally get up and bolt. It's the worst. So I should just become a crazy figurine man. Josh, did you find any good deals on collector's editions and stuff? I just might as well jump straight in.
Well,
just let me know.
I will. Usually Amazon is a good place to hunt around, or GameStop. A lot of times you'll go in there or to Best Buy, and they'll be clearancing out these collector's editions. Like, they have the one I want really bad right now, and I'm just kind of watching it, is the Dark Souls 2 collector's edition. So you get the real big, like, awesome statue of that warrior that's on the box art or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah, and it looks like it's a foot tall. But it was like 120, and it's down to like $80 or something.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if it drops down to like 50, I'd buy it.
I see that at Target a lot. You'll see in their clearance sections, the huge figurine collector's editions will be like $20.
Yeah, that's what I want. My Target sucks because that never happens. The dudes there take them. I know what they do.
Oh, yeah.
At least you have a Target.
That's true.
We do not have Target, which I'm sure annoyed the hell out of a few people that I called a Target. Because it kind of bugs me a little bit. I'm sorry I did that. I've thought of another news thing. And I've got a question for you guys.
Okay.
They've started selling the crap that they found in the landfill out west. Like where the E.T. cartridges were buried.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get, I think, like Missile Command, E.T., maybe Asteroid, something like that. You can go to eBay and buy these landfill items. That's a kind of a cool collector's item, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of my reaction too. How much? I was hoping that one of you would be like, "Yeah, it sounds pretty sweet." Because I was the question was, how much would you be willing to pay for one of these cartridges? Also, maybe a box would come with it.
There were like thousands of these, right? This is not something that was buried in limited quantity, correct?
Yeah, but I don't know how many they dug up and how many they're selling.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So they're hundreds of thousands could have been buried, but they had a limited time and area to do any sort of excavation. So there's probably still hundreds of thousands buried out there.
Okay. $20.
Dustin?
$5.
Okay. See, now this is not something I'll be buying. I consider myself a bit of a retro collector. $50 plus $12 shipping.
That's, you're paying $12 to ship something that was buried in a landfill?
Yes.
I wouldn't want the box to get crushed.
Don't damage that, guys. Oh, I can tell. You absolutely... what's going to go wrong? The package is going to come back to you in perfect condition.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was a fairly steep asking price. Now, I don't know if maybe this is going to go towards some museum or if someone's just pocketing all of this money or if they're raising money for a charity or whatnot. But yeah, on eBay, these things have started to pop up. And I bet that they just rise in value. I bet you snatch them up now for $60 and I bet they go up over the next... Especially if the documentary is a hit.
I feel like you could probably just go dig one up.
Yeah. That would be more fun.
Yeah.
Spend $1,000 to get out there in your plane ticket, but...
Yeah. Totally worth it, though. Yeah. Don't spend $50 and $12 in shipping. Just buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, but it seemed like a pretty worthless... item. I guess if they were NES cartridges, you know what? If they were NES cartridges, it'd have to be a good game.
Yeah.
For me to want to buy something that was dug out of a landfill.
At the end of the day, you're buying an Atari 2600 cartridge.
Yes. A common.
Yeah.
A common cartridge.
And a bad game all around.
No, Missile Command's good, isn't it?
Oh, Missile Command. I'm sorry. I thought we were still...
No, E.T. is one of them. I think Asteroids is one you could buy. There were several that you could buy.
Okay.
Let me see. I wonder even how you find it. Landfill cartridge in eBay? That's what I'm typing in. That worked! $50. Two bids.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
This is for the game Phoenix.
But, I mean, couldn't you not just go out into your backyard, throw some dirt on a cartridge and...
You could.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like the city is selling these.
Oh, yeah.
So that's okay. Maybe they'll be, like, paving roads or buying kids iPads at school or whatnot. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if it's raising money for a city, that's kind of a cool thing. It looks like there's... It says property of the city of Alamogordo, New Mexico. And there's a serial number on these things. And this particular serial number is up to 8,000. So, is that a Captain America shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That's sweet. Josh, we need to get you on a better bandwidth, man. I miss seeing your face.
I know, but I'm not robot sounding, right?
No robots.
Yeah, you sound
so
great.
Rebooting of the router worked.
See, there you go. Yeah, it's the headset, the router configs. I'm good.
Yep, absolutely. So, okay. Well, I guess the consensus for our team is that it's not worth buying something that came out of a landfill.
That's right. Spend $62 on a good game.
That's completely the way that I look at it. You get a or Mordor.
Get take your $62 to eBay and buy a bunch of good games.
There you go. There's some thinking.
Instead of one crappy game that was in a landfill.
That you're not going to want to play at all. And if you see this thing... If you go ahead and check that out, there's no great way to display this. You have to put it in like a shadow box or something.
Oh, yeah.
But you can see it's like all crunched up and it has a cartridge in it.
Ugh. Yeah.
Could you imagine them burying all that plastic today?
Oh my gosh.
People would lose their minds.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Josh is on mute, so let's go ahead and jump over to... Oh, he's back. I've been curious as to what you've been playing, Josh.
Oh, man. What haven't I been playing?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's more to it. Yeah, I guess I keep going. Do you mean to start into it all?
Sure, why not?
All right. So, per the usual, I've been playing some MMOs. I got a 7-day free trial to go back into Warcraft and mess around.
I saw that you were doing some of that.
Yeah, and it's Warcraft. Still the exact same game, but a little prettier. I kind of wanted to check out those new character models they kept talking about.
Yeah, there were some updates to it. What all did they do in the Draenor patch?
They changed a bunch of stuff, added a bunch of things in there for level 100 in Draenor. Stuff I don't know a whole lot about because I haven't played the game consistently for a long time, but... it just seemed like their usual balance tweaks and stuff.
Okay.
The big thing was there's some quality of life changes in the way you sort your inventory and stuff. And the big, big thing was they have new character models for a handful of the races. So, like your dwarves and your humans, your gnomes, your whatever, they all look a lot better and have more animations, custom animations, stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's crazy to look at this game because you can actually toggle them on and off, and you can look at the 10-year-old character model and then switch over to the brand new one, and it's striking how much of a difference it is.
That's what I thought would be the case, is that there would be a huge graphical improvement.
Yeah, and they've been doing a lot. Throughout the years, like, you know, here's some better water tech, and this has been updated. And every time a new expansion comes out, it looks a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But that was probably the most striking to me, is just all over. You know, like when you type, like, you know, /laugh or whatever, and you watch this guy's mouth open, and he's got teeth in there, where before they had, like, no teeth, and they look like Muppets, so. But, yeah, no, I'm not probably going to keep playing much more unless BlizzCon announces something amazing. Like you get a real life sparkle pony for playing the game.
You do get a sparkle pony in Heroes of the Storm if you before the alpha wipe.
Oh,
if you bought something in the store.
That's how they get you.
Yep.
I got a some kind of special mount for playing Hearthstone, which was weird. And it was like this big horse that had like glowing crap all over its legs and these wings, so it's more of a Pegasus, I guess.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but anyway, though, I've been playing that. Played a little Final Fantasy XIV. Kind of burnt out on those games, but tinkering around.
Not to throw another MMO at you.
Oh no, do it.
Trove?
I jumped into that today for a little bit.
Okay, I just saw about it. I think that they just released an open beta this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I played for about 5 minutes, and I think it's really neat.
Okay. Your full review.
Yeah.
Get it up on the channel.
It's really neat. Yeah. yeah, it's very Minecraft-like. Obviously, it looks very, very much like that. But my only complaint is I was walking along in the game, and my character, I don't know if it's me, But they would stop like every 5 feet for like a second. They'd be like, doot, 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 stop, doot, 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 stop.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and I kept wanting to be like, is my keyboard broken? What's going on? But
yeah, that'd take me out of the experience.
Yeah, totally. But then at the same time, it's like, it's almost like this giant, I mean, like massive, massive Minecraft MMO where you're like building things and moving things around, killing monsters, getting items. But then they have the store, which just lets you buy tons of crap, and I have no idea how viable it is to earn currency and buy that stuff within the game without real money, or if it's even possible. Because they were selling stuff outright, like new character classes.
Oh, okay.
Which was very League of Legends, Heroes of the Stormish.
Gotcha. Oh, and speaking of League of Legends, I don't think you listened to the last episode, but Dustin started asking me which MOBA I played before Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
He's like, you played League of Legends. He's like, Josh played Dota 2. And I'm like, fuck Josh.
I played Dota 2 through the tutorial, and I still got the crap beat out of me.
Yeah, that game's tough. I talked about the analogy that our friend Matt gave from Glass City Con.
Yeah.
How he had mentioned that League of Legends is like softball. It's fun, but it's a lot easier than baseball.
Yeah.
So, cool. So Final Fantasy 14, you're burning out on that?
Yeah, I kind of get bummed out just because I got real excited because there was a new patch and they're talking about this expansion and all this wild stuff coming with that, but it's just sort of me doing the same thing over and over again, which is any MMO, but Final Fantasy is especially bad just given the fact that they have a really limited landmass to explore, and it's very much the same thing over and over. It's like, oh, here's this giant monster, you know, from Final Fantasy, whatever, 3 or 2. Fight him. Oh, wait, we need more content. Fight him in hard mode. Oh, wait, we need more content. Fight him in extreme mode. And it's just very subtly different, but just way harder. And it's cool, but nah. I caught up. I'm ready for that expansion when it comes out next year. I may play more then, who knows. But I've moved on from that, though. I don't want to talk too much about those games. I want to talk more about new stuff. So I can't remember how much or if we talked about Shadows of Mordor, but that game is amazing. I love it.
Wait, what?
Shadows of Mordor.
Wait, what was that?
Mordor? Mordors?
No, it's Shadow, singular. You do it too.
Oh, Shadow of Mordor. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
But I do the same thing, man. I can't help but say Shadows.
I've never really thought about it, but okay.
It's got a better ring. It was driving me nuts that I couldn't get it right. So, you've been playing Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah, I've been playing a bunch of that. I played a bit when it came out, took a break. Now I'm jumping back in and enjoying it a lot more. That game is – you played it a lot, Scott. I think it's got that same hook like me and Dustin had when we played Far Cry 3. It's just there's something in it that you keep going back to it because there's just stuff everywhere to do and things to find and see, and the gameplay itself is a ton of fun while the story is just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the story was okay.
Yeah, I'm not that far into it. I mean, I'm still trying to kill 4 war chiefs, so.
Okay.
And there's also a lot of, like, using different chiefs against each other, right?
Yeah.
So there's like in Far Cry 3, you could use like different animals against the bad guys. So it even kind of shares that component.
Yeah, totally. Because there's parts where you're like, well, I'm going to shoot this cage and let this beast out, and it's going to go fight these orcs. That kind of thing, which was similar to like Far Cry. This even adds more stuff into it because you're like, well, I know that orc, he's scared of those kinds of beasts, and then he runs away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's these meta elements. You know, there's more to it. I was doing something today. Like, I went in and, like, some random quest that popped up, and these guys were having a duel, you know?
Yeah.
And then I set loose Karagor, big dog thing, and it runs over, and one of the guys is scared of it, so he runs off. And I kill his buddy. Then I chase him down and kill him, and it's neat. But I like that a lot. And I picked up, because I've been in that fantasy itch, the we talked about just a minute ago, Lords of the Fallen.
Yeah, now this was what I was bummed. This game had me bummed about last week that you weren't on the show, because I wanted to hear a lot about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have a whole lot to say. I played a few hours.
Okay.
But it's like Dark Souls for people who thought Dark Souls was too hard but want to play a game like that.
Which sounds like a crazy specific niche market.
Yeah. It's very much Dark Souls-like. Like, it is so such a parallel, or, you know, it's trying to emulate that experience so much down to the control scheme is exactly Dark Souls.
Gotcha. Okay.
But at the same time, it's got a real stylized look. It's not as punishing. It has a few more neat mechanics, like in Dark Souls, there isn't really, like, a way to boost your experience that you're getting. But in this game, you can keep fighting and then never, like, go bank your experience or go to these checkpoints. Just keep fighting along, and you start building up an experience multiplier. And then if you die, it's gone, but you can go back and get that experience, kind of like you could go back and get your souls in Dark Souls. Like, you go back to
your, oh, really?
Yeah, you go back to, like, your, quote, blood stain or whatever, and you pick it up and you get it all back.
Does a multiplier come back too?
No, it's gone. When you die, okay, or hit a checkpoint, it's wiped out, but it'll start adding up to where you know, you're getting better items and more experience, and they just flat out call it experience instead of souls.
So they call it experience, then in the time between when you respawn and you get back to the bloodstain, do you feel really underleveled?
No, I mean, because every once in a while you'll go and you'll cash that into your character.
Okay.
And you'll put it into, you know, your stats or, you know, learning new abilities, things like that. The trade-off is you forego all of that to build up that multiplier and get more experience to bank a ton later.
Oh, okay. So there's that risk-reward of the longer you can hold out, the more it'll pay off, right?
Yeah, so enemies are going to be tougher. You're not gaining strength or new abilities and whatnot, but you're, like you said, you're getting greater reward. The thing, though, is unlike Dark Souls, when you die, both games let you go back and collect your souls or experience. But in Lords of the Fallen, the longer you go without getting that experience, the less you get when you get there. It starts diminishing over time.
Oh, okay.
So you can't just, like, go willy-nilly and run around the map and do whatever you want, then go get it. You need to, if you have a lot and you want to get it, go straight for it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's neat. It's cool. It's just, it's a little more forgiving, though, because they don't have all these crazy weapon types and insane.
Do they give you prompts on where to go? Because I know the dark, or at least prompts on how to spec your character, or give you any sort of direction that way?
Yes and no.
I know Dark Souls doesn't really do that.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Like, Dark Souls is so vague, but that's what's kind of, like, amazing about it. Like, there's so much out there, and so much variety in the game and the character and the world and the lore is just all over the place. You have to go find it. This game is straightforward. It's practically level-based. Like, it's very linear. There's lots of secrets and stuff to find, but you're pretty much on a mission from A to B, fighting monsters in a very linear succession to the end. And you can only play through a max of 3 times. Or Dark Souls, you can, you know, your new game plus can go up to, like, you know, 50 plus. So you just keep going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is very much a streamlined experience. And where they don't have a million weapon types and all that stuff, what they do have is a really good UI, and it just explains everything right out to you. It says, you know, strength does this, intelligence does this, this is this spell. So for me, I like it a lot. I appreciate it for what it's doing. I don't think it's of the same caliber as Dark Souls, but it's the next best thing.
Doesn't it have... Had you considered picking this up at all?
Yeah, I think it looks awesome. I watched Vinny and Alex do the quick look of it. And just from seeing that, I definitely think that it could totally be like a stepping stone for some people as far as the Dark Souls series.
Okay.
Like, I could totally see somebody picking this up, getting good at it, playing through it, and then saying, you know what, maybe I could get through Dark Souls or Demon Souls.
Speaking of Demon Souls, you had that comment on one of, maybe it was on the YouTube trailer, but someone had kind of perked up that I don't know had commented before, saying that they had been a fan of the videos that you've been doing since your Demon Souls days.
Yeah, and that was a minute ago.
Yeah, that was a while, so that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And I can tell that the caffeine is working for you, Dustin. he's standing up, he's swaying.
I was sitting down, I was starting to feel kind of bleh, so I was like, man, I better get up and like
get the blood flowing.
Get the metabolism up. But yeah, I've got a freaking can of Pepsi and a cup of coffee in me, and I'm still starting to like drone a little bit. So I don't know. Man, I guess it's just fatherhood.
Yeah.
Word.
I blame myself last week. There were a couple yawns from you in the last episode. I'm like, man, I got to pick it up. I've been boring.
Nope. That's just.
It's Solomon's fault?
Yeah. After 6 o'clock, I'm ready. I'm ready to start falling asleep. Until it's actually time for me to fall asleep, and then I can't get sleep.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
9 o'clock rolls around. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do something.
So there's an interesting thing that you can do. My sleeping was rough enough that I actually went to a sleep doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that he told me to do. Is if you're struggling to fall asleep at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whenever you want to, and you are getting a burst of energy, but around 5 or 6 o'clock, you're starting to feel pretty sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you can do so that you can get your body on a normal sleep pattern is about 4 hours before you go to sleep. It's called melatonin therapy.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the supplement you can get from the pharmacy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And normally it's kind of tough to find. Normally when you have melatonin tablets, they're sold in 3 milligram, 5 milligram, 9 milligram, dosages, but that's too much to do the therapy. What you need is only 1 milligram. So what it does is it gives your body a spike of melatonin 4 hours before you want to go to sleep, because normally that's what happens with your body's normal physiology. I don't even know if I said that right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But that's what normally happens to you. So you can kind of trick your body into thinking that, okay, your day's winding down. You're about 4 hours away from going to sleep. And then you start to get those yawns and whatnot at the appropriate time.
Huh.
And if you are sleepy and you're getting the yawns at 5 or 6 o'clock and you don't want to, doing what you do, Dustin, which I'm just going to blame this on the fact you're a father, but drinking a lot of fluids, as far as like water and whatnot, and making sure that you're really hydrated, can help perk you up. And also, he's like slamming his water now. He's like, really? And I've also heard, now this wasn't from my doctor, but, I'd also heard that hot and cold beverages, so it doesn't even have to have caffeine in it, but just a hot or a cold beverage, one way or the other, can help give you a burst of energy.
Huh.
From a simulation standpoint.
Word. All right.
So, but I still don't know what's working for or what to tell you, because you're drinking soda that was lukewarm, but then you've also had ice water and coffee. Solve the yawn. So I don't know.
Eventually I'll have to pee and then I'll have to be awake, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like the old, you'll get the burst of adrenaline like a racehorse.
Or you get that feeling where you're in bed and you're sleeping, or you're about to sleep and you have to pee, but you're like, I might be able to make it through the night if I don't get up. Am I the only one? I'm not the only one.
No. I do the exact same thing.
No, not at all.
Oh, I hate that feeling. I'm just like, oh, I got to get up. Why can't I pee right here? Did anybody notice?
That's why I started using a condom catheter before I go to sleep. So
I sort of believe you. With the amount of fluids that you drink, I believe you.
Although I joke with Kim all the time. I have, we'll be in Walmart and we'll see like the, if you, if you go by the pharmacy, there's like a, they have like the little urinals that you see in like nursing homes for men.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, I'm going to get one of those. That way I don't have to get up when I have to pee at night. She's like, I'll leave you if you do that.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
You're like, no, you signed up for worse or for poor. Or whatever it is. For better or for worse.
See if I can convince her that I worked bedside urinal into our vows.
There, if you guys want the traditional route, yes, you most certainly can. So, yeah. Interesting how we got on sleep and bedpans.
Oh, it always goes back to urine. Always.
So, you been playing anything else, Josh?
Just two more things I'll mention quickly because I feel like I've rambled on too long.
Take your time. This will be a shorter episode, so go ahead and take your time, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, sweet.
And it's been 2 weeks.
Okay. So I have been – sorry. Okay. I've been playing – you guys may have played this. I'm not sure. I don't think you – I think, Scott, I was talking to you earlier and you said you hadn't, but Steam World Dig.
No, I haven't, and I totally forgot to look it up.
Yeah. Have you played it, Dustin?
I've not, but I just downloaded it off of PlayStation Plus.
Man, that's why I started playing it. That game is fantastic.
Oh, sweet.
It is, and the best way I can sort of sum it up, it's Terraria-like and Metroid. Like, it's all about, like, exploring these mines and getting upgrades so you can go further and further in and collecting ore and buying upgrades and yada yada. It's a ton of fun. Like, I cannot believe I have not played this game till now.
Huh. Sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then I downloaded Binding of Isaac, and it's okay. I'm not a giant roguelike fan, but it was free. And
those are only for PS4, right?
Yeah, I think SteamWorld and Binding of Isaac are Vita as well. But I think I'm pretty sure they're both on PC and other platforms.
Oh, I guess I meant as far as the free side of things.
Oh, right.
With places, because I don't have a PS4, but I have a PS3.
Yeah.
If Binding of Isaac would be part of that, that would be awesome. But I don't think I can get it on the PS3.
Nah, you got what do you get? You got Luftrausers and something else. I don't know. Nothing amazing on PS3 this month.
Not like PS4.
No. Yeah, not like PS4.
And then next month.
Yeah.
Next month PS4 gets that the DC fighting game from NetherRealm.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. So it's a full retail game, finally, after
Injustice?
Like a year. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, so I'm pumped. I forget what else there was, but it was a good month. Like, January is going to be awesome. Or December, I mean.
Dude, sweet.
December. But outside of that, though, last thing is I picked up Battleheart Legacy because it just came to Android. I don't know if you guys played Battleheart when it came out, the first game. It was like this 2D party-based RPG. Like, you would have 3-4 characters in the screen. It's all 2D. And you just tap your wizard and tell him to cast a light mode over here and cast your healer and tell him to do this. And it was really cool, just like a Final Fantasy-type game, but it was all going on in real time and you were just dragging your finger around. What Battleheart Legacy is, it's like a isometric Zelda-ish sort of RPG where you're going around getting quests and fighting monsters and getting gold and buying equipment, but it's got that Final Fantasy type class system, and it's very similar to the original game Battleheart, where you're training and unlocking certain classes. So it's like I go talk to the paladin and he lets me use these special abilities and weapons, and then I go talk to the bard and he teaches me songs and I equip what I want. It's super addicting.
The screenshots look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got this real Lego game kind of vibe where
yeah, it looks like Lego meets World of Warcraft.
Exactly, that's what it is. It's sort of like a very faithful 3D representation of the original Battleheart game. But I've been hooked on it. I've been playing a lot at work. Like, I'll just, in the middle of sending an email or something, I'll stop and just run through a dungeon.
See what you have to look forward to, Dustin, when you're out of school.
Yeah.
And IT, you can just...
Well, I'm doing it now, but it's in limited bursts.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, no, it's not limited at all. I played a whole lot today. But it's cool. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of hooked on it. It's my new thing.
I bet it looks gorgeous on your phone.
It does look really nice. I wish it was a tablet, though. Like, my phone is big, but it's not, like, tablet big. Because I'm telling you, I can't play it on the treadmill. But with the iPad that I had from work, it's the iPad 2, and I kind of gave up on it because it's so sluggish. But I could play Hearthstone on the treadmill.
That would be sweet.
Which is super sweet, except, like, every time you take a turn, it's like, chugga, 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 flip the card. Chugga, 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 chugga. You lost.
I noticed that when I downloaded Hearthstone on my mom's iPad mini so that I could get a free pack of cards.
Yeah.
And which I got a legendary out of that, which was sweet. I forget which one it was, but I remember opening up a legendary and thinking like, holy shit, that's awesome. But I remember chugging on that, and the iPad mini, the first generation, is the same guts as the iPad 2.
Yeah, and it was kind of sluggish for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not unplayable, but it's just, compared to playing on the computer, it's nothing, not even close, night and day.
Yeah. Dude, I can't believe the difference that my new monitor has made, because it runs at 144 frames, so it looks just super, super smooth, all the animations and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's now, on my laptop, that's not the case. On the laptop, it chugs.
Yeah. Oh, man, speaking of monitors, so you got that awesome monitor. I picked up a 42-inch plasma for
yeah,
$150, and I love it.
So I'm bragging about this new monitor, Dustin, and he's like, oh, yeah? Well, I just got a plasma TV for $150. Suck it.
Well, no. Used, because my buddy got a 60 or 70-inch plasma for $300.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a sharp TV, but he got it because this guy bought some 3D wraparound waste of money television.
Man.
One of these guys like in the office that just buys everything and then complains about how it's not awesome. You know, he's like, I got an iPad 6, the large one, and then the iPhone 6, that large one, or whatever.
Yeah.
And he comes in, he's like, oh, it's too big, I take it back.
I saw one of those out in the wild today. I was at a coffee shop. It's all 6 Plus.
That's the only place you're going to see them. Yeah. Coffee shops, yeah. Right.
This is an older gentleman, but he was pretty proud of it.
Yeah, and that's the way this guy work is. It's just, it's all about having that. It's a status symbol, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever, because we all...
Well, this guy didn't really seem like status symbol.
Okay.
He seemed genuinely enthused about having this gadget. He didn't come across as pretentious about it. He was like, yeah. So I got the 6 Plus. And one guy did comment and goes, that's as big as a tablet.
He was like,
I was just waiting on a meeting to start.
Technically, it's a phablet. That's what I would have said to him. But then he would punch me in my face and that'd be my head.
Or at least you would have deserved it.
But,
yeah, Josh, you have a phone, not a phablet.
Yeah, that's what I said. I have a phone, not a phablet, because mine's big, but it's like, it's not 6 inches big. That's, don't section that off and play it at the end.
Okay, I'll section it off and play it at the beginning.
Yeah, okay, sweet.
I'll start the episode. I like how One More Podcast does that. They always take bloopers from their off-air conversation and throw a little outtake at the beginning of the episode. It's pretty cool. It takes a lot to go back and... Uh-oh.
I'm sorry.
What are you laughing
at? I was listening to One More Podcast, and I think it was Jason Lamb. He tried to say Laserdisc, but he accidentally said Laserdicks. Oh, man, I cracked up forever at that.
Yeah, those dudes are funny. It's great because, it's Jason Lamb. He's a PC gamer, but is on a retro podcast. So he, like, doesn't really play that many old games is kind of the running joke on the show. It's pretty funny. I guess you have to be a listener, so never mind. Is that pretty much it then, Josh, that you've been playing?
Yeah, I think that's plenty. And then hopefully, is it next week? Week after next? I don't know. Dragon Age Inquisition's coming out soon, and that's all I'm going to talk about for the rest of the year, I hope.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You bounce around too much on games.
I do. It's awful. I'm the worst.
That's a pretty hyped game. I wonder if it'll live up to it.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that it does. Because I was actually talking to my boss about it the other day, and I'm like, if it doesn't, if it's not any good, then I'm probably just going to kill myself.
Okay, Phil Fish.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
So, Dustin, are you going to get in Dragon Age, you think? Or would you?
Yeah, if I had the money and the time to play it, I probably would.
Were you a Dragon Age guy before?
Not really. I played the first one
okay.
on the PS3, and I thought there was way too much talky. Like, there was just nothing but conversations, and I was like, man, I really want to kill something right now. But they just wouldn't shut up.
See, I love that. Something's wrong with me.
I was going to say, it sounds like Persona, the way you guys described it.
Persona, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Persona, I haven't played that in a while. That game's good.
Good deal. Well, I guess we'll just move on. Dustin, what have you been playing, man?
I finished Outlast.
Oh.
Actually, you know what? I'll talk about Super Ghouls and Ghosts and Castlevania 4 first, because I've only been playing them a little bit. I play them on the couch while Solomon's usually watching Curious George or playing with toys or something.
Yeah.
So I've had differing experiences with them. I've actually had a rough time with Super Castlevania 4. I'm on the 8th level, and I'm in the middle of a walkthrough in that game on the channel, and I haven't put anything up, so I was like, man, I should probably get used to these levels so that I can play them later and be good at them, and, you know, I can actually call it a walkthrough instead of me just dying repeatedly to and filming it. But I've actually just been dying repeatedly on the same level. I don't know if it's because I'm playing it on my my Wii U tablet or what, but yeah, the 8th level is giving me some trouble. And Super Ghouls and Ghosts I've been playing just because that game is really, it's kind of relaxing to play if you use the Wii U's like a save state system.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually just, I'll play a little bit and I'll get further, and sometimes I'll die and I'll go back to my, I'll restore my save state and do it over again. And, but yeah.
I'm sorry, but save states on old retro games, if you're a purist, I'm sorry. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Save states. Oh, I love them.
Yeah, they're great. Because Super Ghouls and Ghosts, there's no password system or anything. You either play it all the way through or you don't. You start all the way over if you turn it off.
Really?
Yeah.
On the Super Nintendo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a level select, but there's not a password system or a save system, anything.
I got that game for a couple bucks a few years ago. I hadn't ever played it, but knew that Ghosts and Goblins was pretty well liked on the NES.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this was just sort of a remake of that. And I never have gotten around to giving it an actual shot.
It's really good. It's, have you played the NES version, the Ghosts and Goblins?
Or just a little bit.
It is infinitely better made. The Super Nintendo version, yes. I really don't like the NES game. I forget the stupid title because it's different. But I think that is a really poorly made game. Not from like game design, not that it's hard, because Super Ghouls and Ghosts is hard, but it's just, it's kind of crappy. It's a shoddy port. I don't like it at all. But Super Ghouls and Ghosts and whatever the Genesis version is also really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but make sure if you play the, if you're looking to get into those games, play Super Ghouls and Ghosts first, because the Genesis version allows you to shoot up. Like, you can throw your projectiles up. So if you get used to that and you try to go to Super Ghouls and Ghosts, it can be kind of jarring.
Gotcha. That's probably why I did watch Mike and James from Cinemassacre play through Super Ghouls and Ghosts, but they did like an edited version. It looked too hard.
It's kind of rough when you're learning it, but once you kind of get the flow and where enemies are going to be, and really it's remembering where the treasure chests are going to be, because that's where you get, you know, where you can get your better weapons. You always want the knife, usually.
That's what I was going to ask is, did you go with the crossbow or the knife as your weapon of choice?
I usually like the knife. The crossbow can be really convenient for some of the bosses.
Okay.
Because the bosses are usually taller than you, so being able to shoot at a diagonal angle is really convenient.
Yeah.
But the knife is super fast. And once you get your more powerful armors, they actually increase your offense. So even though the knife is kind of quick and less powerful on a standard level, once you level it up, it's actually really nice to use.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I think you can even go through parts of the level. So, like, if it was an obstacle that would block the knife regularly, when you power it up, it actually goes through it, so you can hit enemies on the other side.
That would be awesome.
And the snow level in that game is super cool.
Okay. Oh, which is usually kind of rare. I usually don't like ice levels.
Yeah.
Now, going back to Castlevania 4, do you think it's because it's a weird port on the Wii U? Because I have trouble sometimes with Contra on emulators, but the real one, I have no problem with it.
You know, I didn't consider that. It may be. It's also just because I'm playing it around... Whenever I'm playing anything around Solomon, I'm usually... My attention is divided because I'm making sure he's not doing something stupid. But, not stupid, that sounded bad, but he's not, like, trying to eat stuff.
like food? I mean, I don't want him to have any sustenance.
Or, you know, markers, chalk, yeah. Paste, the couch, whatever.
You live in a school? You just have markers laying around?
Actually, we do. He just got a birthday present. He's going to be 2 in a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I figured it was because my attention's kind of divided and I'm playing it on the little handheld. I don't like handhelds anyway, but really any excuse I can use that is just I suck at games and I should probably stop trying to play it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I just figured it was probably an emulation thing, that it was just sort of an odd... Like, maybe the A or B button equivalent is just, you know, 10 milliseconds off from what it normally would be.
Yeah.
Which could cause some problems with a precision game like that. So, yeah. So what else have you been playing, man?
I played a couple of iOS games, The Room 2 and Device 6. The Room 2 was, of course, the sequel to The Room, which was fantastic. I did a walkthrough on our channel of that, and I've owned The Room 2 for a while, and I just kind of forgot about it, and finally got around to playing it, and it's super good, but I don't think it's as good as the first one.
Oh, okay. Do you think it's a scenario where whichever one you would play first, you would like more, or do you think that the puzzles in the first one just make you feel smarter?
I think the first one felt tighter. Like, it felt like this kind of weird mystery box or scenario that you could maybe find yourself in real life.
Okay.
But the second one felt a little detached from reality, which kind of makes sense. In a story context, I won't spoil anything, but there are things where you manipulate a puzzle on one side of the room and it will affect something on the other side of the room, but with no like real life connection, right? It's not like you're moving a pulley over here and it's affecting something over here. It's just like you did something over here and something magically happens over here.
Okay, gotcha.
Whereas the first one, it actually kind of felt like they built like a puzzle box.
Yeah.
You were just manipulating it.
Absolutely. I didn't finish the room, but I did play a good bit of it. And yeah, it felt like a magical piece of a machinery.
Yeah. And the second one doesn't have that feel to it, but it is still very good. It's a very good puzzle game, and I'm glad I bought it.
Do you know how much that is? Is it like a $5, $10?
I think it was $4.99.
Okay.
It was either $4.99 or $3.99. So it's definitely an impulse buy kind of price range.
Okay, cool.
And Device 6 is actually from the same guys who did Year Walk. Year Walk was the Norse mythology. Is it Norway? It would be Norwegian. Regardless, some sort of European country's mythology about year walking. And it was super creepy, and it was an awesome puzzle game. They did a really good job utilizing the iPad or the iOS device. And Simogo, the guys who made that game, did Device 6. And Device 6 is kind of like, it's like a 1960s spy mystery novel that's interactive.
Weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's completely tonally different, but it's pretty cool from what I played so far. I played the first two chapters of the book, and the way it's set up is you'll be reading it like normally like a book, but it'll like suddenly the text will shift, so you're reading it like left to right, top to bottom, and then it'll shift and you have to turn the device and it'll be a single line going from left to right in portrait view. And or is it landscape? It doesn't matter.
Well, it depends. If you probably landscape,
yeah,
is what you probably moved it to.
I think so, yeah. But eventually you'll run into stuff where, like, I ran into a recording that was repeating over and over, like to the passcode for the lock is found where red meets yellow, and where plus where hope, what lies between hope and lies, plus the channel that I'm found on. And what it was in the text, your character Annie, she wakes up and she sees this painting of an orange, and in the painting of the orange is 2001. And then as you're walking, you're reading through the text, it's actually you walking through this building, and there are portraits up, and you see there's one that says hope, one that says lies, and one in between that says five. And as you go further, there's a security camera, and on channel 56, there's a tape recorder, and that's what you're hearing. So you add all those up, and that's the passcode that you put in, and it takes you to, like, the next chapter.
Oh, wow, that's a deep puzzle.
Yeah. And it's just the whole time you're hearing audio from what you would hear if you were actually walking around. Like, the recording is actual audio. So you have to be able to hear the game to play it. But it's super, super well made, super high production values. It's really cool.
Do you use headphones when you play, or is the sound not directional, so you can get away with just the one speaker on the because you got an iPad too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was I did fine with just the speaker.
Okay,
but I would probably advise using headphones. I was too lazy to get up and find them. Was my problem,
or your audio would cut out of them because the wireless would get all wonky on you. Which Dustin stealthily managed to switch headphones back to his normal ones.
Yeah, I didn't want to have my wireless on for like an hour and a half. I thought that'd eat through batteries because those are battery powered. And it was weird. It was weird not being able to hear myself.
I guess now that you can hear yourself in your headphones.
I mean, not really. Like, it's not audio coming through the headphones. It's just that the headphones are so small that I can hear myself.
I was going to say, that would drive me nuts if I was hearing what you guys were hearing, because there's a little bit of latency.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to take that.
I couldn't podcast if that's what was happening. Cool. So Device 6. Do you know if by chance that's Android only or iOS only?
I do not. Probably not, because like Year Walk and The Room are on Steam. So I think that they're branching out.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they're still like $4 or $5 on Steam. So I think those games are really cool.
I'll have to check it out. It sounds, I like puzzles, so it sounds like a pretty good game.
And I'm kind of curious how they handle Year Walk on Steam, because there are some puzzles where you have to manipulate the device, like turn it over and stuff. So I wonder how they do that on PC.
Just grab your entire PC, shake it around. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my new monitor is for developers, so it can flip to 180 degrees or flip 90 degrees and be perpendicular to the ground instead of parallel.
Oh, so we're playing a lot of shooters, right? A lot of shoot 'em ups.
I could.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be sweet. You should download, was it Ikaruga?
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be, is that the 144 frames per second?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That'd be like butter.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Although I was telling Josh before we started recording, I can't get the colors just right between my old monitor and my new monitor. So what is kind of a normal, what I'd consider a normal green on my regular monitor is a bit more of a lime green on the secondary monitor. And I've played a whole bunch with the color settings and the saturation and the contrast and all that kind of stuff and can't quite get it to match up just right.
You should probably just start eating paint chips or something like that so you go colorblind and then you won't even notice.
Oh, that would be terrible. Eating paint chips.
Yeah.
You've also been playing some scary games.
Yes, I finished Outlast, going back to that. And that game is, it may have ruined me on horror games from this point forward. Just, it is so good. I don't know that anything else will be scary.
Really?
It was good. It was really good.
How long was it? Maybe 8 to 10 hours? Or not quite that long even?
Not, probably not even that long. I think, actually, the camera that you use in the game has a timestamp in the upper left. I think I spent a little over 3 hours on it.
Oh, okay.
My first playthrough. I also downloaded the Whistleblower downloadable content, but I haven't played it yet. But just like the environment, the way it feels to run, the crazy stuff that happens, so good. Oh, so good.
Is that on PS4? Are you playing that free version we got a while back?
I missed that when I didn't have a PS4 yet, when it was free on Plus, but it went on sale for $5 for PS Plus members.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I downloaded it then.
Yeah, I played just a teeny bit of that game. Kind of scared to go on too far.
Was it like the first jump scare that you get?
Yeah, like something happens where you get that sort of that Resident Evil dog scare.
Yeah.
And something knocks you down, they're talking about.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of that in the game?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of scares that come from just being in a creepy environment. There's a lot of scares that come from people just kind of jumping out. A lot of the times it's, you'll be in an area and there's a guy who, this happens several times with several different characters. There will be someone who's looking for you and you're kind of in this area and you have to find a way to get out of the area while avoiding that person. So you have to make, and you have, keep in mind, you have a really high capacity for stealth. Like there were times where the darkness really works for you, so you can be on the path that the enemy is patrolling and just kind of duck and move towards the wall. As long as they don't run into you, you're fine, because they won't be able to see you in the dark either. And just like moving around, trying to find like a key for something while avoiding them is super tense, and it feels great because your character controls so well. And then like if you do get seen, you can book it and you feel fast. And as long as you like break the site contact, then you can like duck into a locker or like crawl under a bed, and then, you know, they'll come in, they'll know what room you're in. So they'll come in and they'll like start looking around the room. And I will.
Even hearing you talk about this, I don't like it.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I said this last week, there's no, you have no offensive capabilities. There is no fighting back. You run, you hide, or you get killed. A lot of the times you'll hide in a locker. This is kind of spoilery for one of the scares, I think, but just to give you an idea, how they kind of subvert your expectations. You'll hide in a locker and enemies will come up and they'll open the locker right beside you and look in and shut it and walk away. And that happened a few times. And I got to this place where, I did this thing and I hide in the locker and the guy comes in. I'm like, okay, he's going to open the locker beside me. And then he'll go out. He walks right up to the locker that I was in, opens it and snatches me out of it. And I was like, oh my God. I freaked out a little bit. And then I had to run from him and find another hiding place. Oh yeah. And it's super dark, like tonally, because there's like really, really messed up stuff that you find in this, Asylum. So definitely a super mature title that you don't want to play in front of children or old people with weak hearts or
me,
your friends, people who aren't insane and celebrate Halloween for 2 months straight. So yeah, Outlast, fantastic game, gives my thumbs of approval. And then I also played Amnesia.
Oh, yeah.
And while playing Amnesia, I was like, man, I really should have played this before I played Outlast.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think...
I've heard Amnesia is super scary.
It doesn't add up to Outlast.
Wow.
Yeah, I played it as I was playing it. Well, first off, it's only keyboard and mouse. Because I'm playing on the PC version. I got it through a Humble Bundle. I don't know that it's on anything else. But the PC version is just keyboard, mouse. And this is The Dark Descent. I haven't played Machine for Pigs yet. So that may have changed. But just moving around doesn't feel as good. For like opening doors, you have to... You'll move up to the door and you'll get the hand icon. You click on it and you either have to push the mouse forward to open the door to push the door open, or mm-hmm. you have to push it backward or pull it backwards to pull the door open. And that feels really weird. It doesn't work all the time. If like you're being chased by something and you're trying to get through the door, it sucks. It doesn't work very well. Whereas something like Outlast was just a button push and you open the door.
Yeah.
Running doesn't feel very good. You don't feel very fast. There were times in Amnesia where I'm moving around and a monster spots me and I'm running away from the monster. And when the monster spotted me, I had like 30 feet in between us. But as I start running, all of a sudden it's hitting me from behind. There's not much as far as visual storytelling in the environments. It's all done pretty much through documents and voiceover, which there's some of that in Outlast, but there's just in Amnesia, it's you and the enemies and flashbacks. Whereas in Outlast, it feels like you're in this like fleshed out world with a bunch of other people. Yeah, I don't know. I really wish I'd played it first, because I think it's a cool game. But it just doesn't add up, and because of that, I'm just not enjoying it as much.
It sounds like there's definitely some mechanics that take you out of the experience more. Like you had talked about last week,
mm-hmm.
is that when you're in a horror game, if you have a game that's mechanically clunky, it takes the ability to scare you out of it.
Yes, totally. Absolutely. And Outlast, like I said last week, it's like found footage, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. In Outlast, you have your video camera, and it has night vision. And you have batteries, so it's not something that you can just use all the time. You do have to manage your resources, manage your use of it. But Amnesia, you have to... If you have a sanity meter, and as you stay in the dark, you go gradually crazier. And when you go crazy, the more your insanity is taking place, it's your vision starts warping, which sucks because you can't see what you're doing. Your movement feels like you're on ice. If you, for instance, like moving your head around feels like when you're on an ice level in like a 2D platformer.
So you can turn a little too far?
Yeah. Which, okay. I don't know. I don't think it's effective in main, like, it ruins the creepy environment because you're like, why does this suck all of a sudden? But, yeah, Outlast. Very good. Amnesia, not so good by comparison. But from what I understand, some of the people who worked on Amnesia left and went and did Outlast. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And yeah, that's my whole list.
That's it?
Yep.
Cool.
Unless you want to talk about the trailer.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the trailer at the beginning of the show. That I knew I was forgetting something in news and announcements. So, Dustin, you put together a badass trailer for our YouTube channel, man.
Thank you.
And for those of you that haven't seen it, he took the clip from Ninja Turtles, the NES game 1, when Splinter gets taken, and then he put his own dialogue underneath Shredder, which I thought was awesome. What I really liked about it is that you were able to convey everything that we do on the channel in a minute, and you only use text. There was no voiceover work. The editing was great. Getting the Castlevania footage and the footage of the PVR rocket in the TV box.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that. It was really, 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 really cool.
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm at school. Like, I was in my networking class, my network security class. I was sitting there, like, writing notes down about, like, basically storyboarding this trailer out.
Yeah, how'd you get the idea to use that scene?
I was playing the game. I was playing the game, and I came across that cutscene, and I was like, man, that TV coming on, that would be awesome. We could totally put that in a trailer. And then, like, sweet. 8 months later, I was like, hey, I should probably make that trailer.
I did a fantastic job, and I just like that it encapsulates the fact that we talk about old stuff. We have old stuff on our channel, but we also do all the new crap as well. It was perfect. I loved it.
My only problem was I really wanted the text to type out as it went, like in the original cutscene.
Yeah,
I couldn't find that in Vegas, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
So, I guess the one advantage is the bouncing text was visually interesting, so it kind of, like, it made you look at it.
I was just going to say that.
But so. I really wanted to stay as true to the original cutscene as possible and have the typing text, but I just couldn't find a way to do that within Vegas.
Yeah, so go to youtube.com/classicleet, and it's a minute of your time, that's it. And you can check out the awesome trailer that Dustin put up. And it's gotten a bunch of thumbs up so far and a lot of nice comments on it. So very awesome, man. I really appreciate you doing that.
Man.
Cool. Well, for my birthday, my buddy bought me XCOM.
Oh!
Enemy Unknown. So I'm pretty excited to play that. It's on my PC, Josh. So should I do mouse and keyboard controls? Or should I try out the controller support?
The controller is actually really good, but I just went for mouse and keyboard because it's just a lot easier to click where you want to go or where you want your guys to go.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think I did mouse and keyboard. I don't know. I like that game a lot. That game is really good.
Dustin, did you play XCOM at all?
I played it on my iPhone.
Oh, okay.
I played the iPhone version, and it was I got a little, like, two or three skirmishes in before I found it just kind of impenetrable and difficult.
See, I set my settings to easy.
Yeah.
Like, the easiest it would go.
I can't remember if I did that or not either, also, but...
They might not have given you that granularity on the platform either.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
They might have just said here.
That's a good point, yeah.
This is it, so... But what was cool also about getting that is, did you guys see much about that game called Evolve?
Yeah.
Where there's like a monster and you're, I have yourself and three other teammates and it's the monster versus you guys.
I've heard a lot about it, but I haven't seen any footage.
Well, and I don't even know if I could have been able to, legally. But it probably would have been okay. So I should have captured some footage of it to get it up on the channel. Mm-hmm. But if you own XCOM Enemy Unknown on PC, you also got into the Evolve beta a week ago. Yeah, or Evolve Alpha.
Huh? Do you only get on Steam? Do you get an email? Do you have to register something?
My friends knew about it. The guys that I play Heroes of the Storm with. And they got me into it, and I played a couple of matches, and it's a pretty promising game. It felt very much like an alpha, though. Because the queue times took a while, the load times were a little on the long side, and it didn't really explain to me the nuances between the classes real well. It seems like a game you have to play a lot to understand. And for me, it only had just a day to play it. So, but it's pretty cool. Essentially, there are four classes that you play as. There's an assault person, a trapper person, a medic, and a support. And what they do is every game has to have all four of those team members on it. So you rank in order of what you want to be. You can be the monster or you can be one of those four classes. And you always rank what you would like to have as your priority. So I would go with assault because I figured that was just the more brute force. Just shoot the monster and you're kind of good to go. So I felt like it was probably the less complicated character. And then I did trapper, which allows you to set these traps so that the monster kind of get stuck in a bubble inside a force field with you guys. You can just pummel them with bullets. And then the medic heals everybody in support. I guess probably gives sustain or some sort of a personal shield or something like that. I didn't play those two classes. But I think that Evolve is going to be a pretty big deal when it comes out. I think it's available right now for Steam to pre-order. And I don't know when that game comes out because they're still doing alpha testing and whatnot, but there seems to be a pretty big marketing push for it. I saw trailers on IGN for it, and on YouTube. So, like, it's like pre-roll commercials, not as something I was actively clicking on, but actual commercials while I was waiting to watch a video. I think it was IGN.
Does that game look pretty sharp?
Yeah, and it ran fine. So it's a dark game, and I feel like dark is easier to have look better. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like when it, you know.
Like Batman Arkham Asylum looked awesome. Yeah. And I think it's because a lot of it was dark. It's pretty good. It's a first-person shooter. There was a really cool video I saw on Kotaku where some dudes just ignored the monster and started making a jump rope out of the support beam from the medic.
What?
And you saw the monster, as the monster was hunting for the people, start to see what was going on. And these guys are just playing jump rope around this beam. And the monster came up onto the platform and instead of attacking, started trying to jump in the beam. And this was a random person that was not a part of their group.
That's awesome.
And so they were like, well, let's not hunt for the monster. Let's just play around and see what happens. And the monster was like, yeah, let's do that. It was really, really a cool thing. And also something I mentioned last week was that I'm in the Heroes of the Storm Alpha, the Blizzard MOBA.
Yeah, you seem to bring that up a lot.
And if you hit level 20, you're in the drawing, right?
To get your buddies in. Two buddies that you know pretty well.
Everybody on my crew would get in. Everyone on my list. So I hit level 20. So if you write into the show, classicelite@gmail.com, and want a chance to be in the drawing to get into the alpha for that game, write us and let us know. And I will gladly add you to my buddy list. Here's the Storm Alpha. I can't wait till you're in it, Josh.
I'm kind of wanting to jump in there. I know MOBAs haven't been my thing, but this one, everything I've seen it makes me think it's more for me with the streamlined nature, the no items, the no last hit kill experience crap.
Yeah, and because of the fact that there's mechanics on the map, so instead of just having a laning phase and whatnot, there are different objectives that you go through. So instead of last hitting and grinding in that capacity, you go for different objectives, and that's a lot of fun. It adds just a different twist to that style of game. It really feels like a battle arena where you can get allies and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you want an opportunity, go ahead and write into the show, and I'll put you in my buddy list. So I am done with what I have been playing, so let's get to something I'm very excited about, and that's the fact that we got fan mail.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time. So he didn't sign his name, so I'll just say thank you to David for writing into the show. Won't give his last name. Maybe that's not even his real last name. You never know. It's just an email account, right?
That's right.
Right. Duchovny, so, I've never heard that last name before.
Yeah. The Red Shoe Diaries is writing in. Do you guys remember that show?
Oh, yeah. That was Cinemax back in the day.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That was a scrambled porn channel thing for a lot of us growing up in the 90s.
Yeah. After like 10 o'clock, that's where we all were.
Good old X-Files reading steamy love stories with a dog sitting next to him.
Yeah, no one ever was like, you know, why is there a dog there? Why not?
Yeah, why not? So so David writes in and he says, a new listener here, just wanted to say hi. I love old and new games. I'm a regular listener of the Retro League and the Cartoon Retrocast.
Good taste.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally agree. And he goes, heard you never receive emails, so this is what I'm doing. You are correct, yep. Sir. Thank you very much. He's usually a retro gamer, he says. I recently watched Conan O'Brien play the new Smash Brothers game, and it was great. Guys, I will link this in the show notes. It is fantastic. Have you guys watched Clueless Gamer? Clueless Gamer from Conan?
I've seen some clips of it.
The Smash Brothers one is fantastic, so you'll have to watch it when we're done recording. Right. He goes, I love his Clueless Gamer segment. It's a good way to find out a review of a game. I bought Smash Brothers for my 3DS. I believe the 3DS is better than the Vita.
Oh.
So you got fighting words from Mike T.
Find out smack.
I really do enjoy your show and keep up the good work. Oh, and I do love I love this. He wrote, and I do love Shadow. He put the S in quotation marks for me.
That's why of Mordor. Yes, there should be more than one Shadow. They're missing an opportunity there.
That'll be the sequel.
Yes. I blame it on Castlevania.
It'll be Shadow of Mordors. They'll just mess it up.
Mordors.
Yeah.
Lords of Shadow. Wait, there was only one Shadow in that too?
There was in that one too, but I still blame it.
Lords of Shadow of Mordor.
Just because, yeah, Lords of Shadow of
Lords
Mordor.
Lords of the Shadow.
We have an episode title now.
Fallen Mordor's Advanced Warfighter. Yeah, got it.
And then he ends with, it may be my new modern game, which I think he means like his
favorite
go-to. Yeah. So, David, thank you very much for writing in, and hopefully we'll hear from you again. It definitely motivated me to want to record this episode.
You know what? I'm going to send him a game. I have Humble Bundle games.
Oh.
There you go.
I don't know what I have yet.
So, David, expect some games. See, if you write into the show, we promise we will give you games. Dustin offered up Perfect Dark on this Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah, I also had that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, David, if you want some Perfect Dark, man, Dustin will hook you up.
Yep.
That was a good Best Buy find for you, wasn't it?
Perfect Dark. Where did I get that?
Or did I say Best Buy? I'm at Goodwill. Why did I say Best Buy?
Apparently someone doesn't like Best Buy, or they really like Goodwill. I don't know which way to take that.
Yeah, it was a Goodwill find, yeah.
Sweet. Well, good deal. Well, David, again, thank you very much for writing in. I really appreciate it. So hopefully some other people will want to write in with questions for us, maybe. Tell us a little bit about yourself. ClassicElite@gmail.com. And we'll read it on the show. Actually, it's two in a row because we took an email from Mike and read it without his permission.
Oh, yeah.
On the last episode. So, cool. Well, I guess we're done for this week. Dustin, virtual high fives to us. This is 2 weeks in a row we've recorded a podcast.
I was not included in that because I was absent last week. I know. No high five for me.
No. If you're here next week.
No. Yeah, but then you guys get 3 week high fives and I just get the two. Like, I'll always be behind.
Anytime then inevitably Dustin's going to have class or something.
That's right. You take a class. That's cool. Hey, it's good.
I have a list right here of all my unredeemed Humble Bundle keys. That's really convenient. Let's see here. Batman Arkham Origins. Do you mind if I read these out?
No, yeah. I was actually going to encourage you to.
Okay. Batman Arkham Origins, Battlefield 3 on Origin.
Wait, you got Origins? That's unredeemed?
Batman Arkham Origins, DLC. It's DLC, okay. My bad.
Well, I was going to, because that game's only like a year old.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Batman Arkham Origins DLC. Battlefield 3 on Origin. Burnout Paradise, the Ultimate Box on Origin and on Steam.
Nice.
So that's two separate keys. Command & Conquer Red Alert 3 Uprising on Origin and Steam. Crysis 2 Maximum Edition Origin key. DEFCON Multiplayer key. Dead Space 3 Origin key. That's a pretty good game. It's not the best Dead Space, but it's pretty good. Dungeons of Dreadmoor, Desura key. English Country Tune. What? Gotham City.
Sometimes you catch some weird ones in the Humble Bundles.
No joke. Gotham City Imposters, Professional Kit. That seems like DLC. Guardians of Middle Earth. Guardians of Middle Earth, Smog's Treasure DLC. Frozen Synapse Bundle, Desura Key. Introversion Bundle. Intrusion 2, Medal of Honor, Origin Key. That's the, it was like the 2010 version?
Okay.
That's pretty good. I like that one. Mirror's Edge, Origin Key. That's one of my favorite games ever made.
Nice.
Yeah. Multiwinia, Multiplayer Key. Oil Rush, Populous, Origin Key. Receiver, Steam Key. Receiver is that, it's like the co-op of firearms. Like you have to, the way that you reload magazines and you have to like, it's all very realistically portrayed as far as the weapons go. Red Faction, Armageddon, Path to War DLC, Super Meat Boy, Lone Survivor, and Braid Steam Key.
Nice.
Lord of the Rings Online, Steely Dawn Starter Pack, Sims 3, Tiny and Big and Grandpa's Leftovers.
That's a lot of games, man.
Yeah.
I'm not even done yet. Titan Quest, Steam Key, and Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War, Steam Key. Now I'm done.
Wow.
I had to stop at Tiny and Big and Grandpa's Leftovers. Because none of that makes any sense to me.
It's just words. Nice. Yeah, so if anybody wants any of those games, just let us know. Twitter, at Classic Leet, Facebook, you can get a hold of us, facebook.com/Classic Leet, or you can email us, as I mentioned, earlier.
David, you get, first picks.
Yes, he gets first pick. Yeah, oh, and one other thing, Dustin, from a retro perspective, looks like you're going to be also maybe starting some Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, it's a good game.
Yeah, yeah. I want to use the... I have the Sonic Ultimate Genesis Collection, and I was going to use that just because I think the footage will look best that way.
Yeah.
But I also have the original Genesis card. But...
I have that complete in box. I'm pretty proud of that one.
Does that have a clamshell?
Yeah.
Sweet, okay. I hate the old... the cardboard boxes that they went to. They crush so easy.
From Majesco? I think that's who made those.
Really? Ugh.
Yeah, they outsourced.
Gross.
Yeah, I... well, I'm glad that I didn't do this. A couple years ago, I actually picked up Castlevania Bloodlines to give to you as a surprise, Dustin. Because mm-hmm. it was complete in box.
Oh, man.
But it was the cardboard box version.
Sweet.
I'm like, hey, man, do you have Bloodlines? And I'm like, well, probably, of course he does. And you're like, yep, I got it. Like, okay. I guess I have this game now.
That's a good game. You should play it.
It's a fantastic game.
So good.
Excellent music, great controls, looks good. I've actually used that because it's one of the more valuable Genesis games, too. Mm-hmm. I've used that in some of the footage for one of the PBR Rocket or... PBR gaming things that I've done for recording retro consoles.
Word. Hey, at the end of that game, they play Simon's theme.
At the end of that one, too?
And it's all in Genesis glory.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Oh, speaking of the last episode, because that was what we used as outro music, did you go back and listen by chance?
Not yet, no.
I wanted to see if you heard the noise of that you made that sounded like Pac-Man.
Oh, no.
It's around like 35 or 36 minutes into the episode.
I forgot about that.
Even, when I was editing, I went and amplified it.
Well,
so that it would come through kind of clear.
I'm definitely going to do it now.
It was pretty funny. And this week as outro music, I'm going to try to pronounce this. This is from a... awesome musician that I saw on SoundCloud today. Schnabubala.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like I'm just making up noises, but...
Who sounds like Pac-Man now?
Yeah. He does this awesome kind of jazz jam sort of rendition of the Double Dragon theme song from NES, Dustin.
Oh, sweet.
And there's a wicked piano solo in the middle of it. So hopefully our listeners will enjoy that. It's just fantastic. So I'll link that in the show notes as well. So you can go ahead and download that. So hopefully people will enjoy the sweet tunes they are hearing. I want to thank everybody that supports the show. And also shout out to the Paranerds, of course. Some of our best friends in podcasting. The Retro League, always appreciate them giving us shout outs. And love Robin Hugh. Ben Landis, thanks a lot to him for letting us use his song Through the Forest as the intro to our podcast, and also shout out to the Cartoon Retrocast. I mentioned it, but I guess I'll say it again. Twitter, you can find us there. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Google+, Stitcher, iTunes, all that stuff. Just search for Classic Leet, and our email is classicleet@gmail.com. Everyone, thanks a lot for listening, and we will see you soon for episode 119.